Blog Talk Radio. Hi, it's I again. It's me again here on the Detectors Radio Broadcast Hour or two, three. And today, I am just totally appalled at our justice system. A justice system that is totally unjust towards African Americans. I heard and basically let us know that the Justice Department is coming down real heavy to change the issues in Baltimore. What they're planning on doing is revamping everything, they said. We're going to change the way the police department handles things. We've had countless for numbers of complaints, and now we're going to actually do something. But then again, why didn't they do anything when they first initially got the police complaints? Which probably were going on for eons. And that's what's going on all over the United States. It's not just a bad police department. Every police department around the USA has had situations of police misconduct, a brutality that has gone under the wire because nobody has reacted to any of these situations until now. The one in Baltimore, it just got gradually worse. First it was in New York. One guy was out there, had a couple of cigarettes in a pack and was selling them to some people. So another revenue stop came up. Okay, we're going to stop this guy on foot and make some money off of him. So then they take the guy, throw him on the ground, and crush him, and he dies. Okay, then he got the one that happened down in Missouri. Guy, you know, was, you know, in, I don't know if he was in a vehicle. I forgot what happened with that one. And he, you know, tries to elude whatever's going to happen with him because black men are scared. They're scared of what the police might do. They're scared to death if they're going to get shot and murdered and killed on the street. There's no respect towards African Americans. Once they're stopped, you know, they are abused verbally. And, you know, just to get somebody to react. Now, the reason for the reaction, well, if they react, then, you know, hey, they got money coming in. If they react, they're resisting arrest. They're not giving out their name because they're scared. So they're going to go to jail for little or nothing. Why do they go to jail? Well, okay, let's say a person might have something going on with child support. Or maybe somebody has something going on for the traffic violation. They missed a court date, which they could get time in jail for. So the thing is that they're scared. They even give their name. So if they give their name out, immediately they're going to be, you know, accosted by the police. So they can get you for not giving out your name. They can get you for any type of reason. And you have no protection under any rule of law because what they do, and they're a revenue stop, is they're making revenue for the city or the county, municipality. They don't care. They're hired to do this. Now, right at the time when this stuff goes on, right down the street, they could be JoJo criminal. You know, we see all these reports of ISIS and stuff, oh, terrorists and terrorists. You think the police can and are involved with capturing any of these terrorists, alleged terrorists are on the street? Hell no. I say this from the knowledge that I have of what I dealt with before after September 11th. I went to the police. They didn't do anything. Prime example, I was sitting in my home in Hinsdale, Illinois. I had a situation where somebody put $50,000 worth of county, I think it was $5,000 worth of counterfeit money orders in my bank account. Yeah, in TCF Bank, $5,000 counterfeit money orders. And whoever was perpetrating this crime set me up because I was on the air and they didn't want me talking. So it was a game being played because they know law enforcement couldn't work for them. They were trying to cover up some incidents that I was bringing out. So what they do is on the end, they go and talk to whoever the cohorts are at the top. And they say, okay, let's target her. Let's get her for this and that and the other. So anyway, what happened to me was just before this, I was getting child support from my ex-husband. That child support was coming in and it stopped it. Somebody went in the system and changed the child support, saying that my kids were older than they were and canceled me out for having child support. So I had no money, absolutely no money. I sit in my house, I old rap, couldn't pay anything, had no money because they systematically blocked me from work and from getting my child support check that I had been getting for years. So then the child support didn't come in. I didn't have the money to pay the rent. I'm sitting in my house in Hinsdale, and the thing was, I get go to the bank to take out a few dollars out of my bank account, and lo and behold, I checked the balance, and I got $5,000 in my account extra. Now, what happened just in between this time was I got a call from Spiegel out of New York. They told me, oh, you called for a job. I didn't remember because I was calling for employment all over. Oh, yeah, we got your application for my ad we had in the Tribune, da-da-da-da. And the thing was I had applied for a lot of jobs and places off of the Tribune at the time. They used to have massive ads there. And anyway, these people contacted me, and they told me, oh, do you want to do sales or telemarketing from your home? Oh, we'll send you a fax machine. We'll send you the phone equipment. You can work directly from your house. We'll pay you so-and-so dollars an hour. And then also, with we'll send you a bonus check in advance for you to, set up operations. So it caught me off guard because it was a Tribune ad. I thought it was real. But see what they do? They intercept your telephone call. These culprits, they're in these damn, agencies, these provocateurs they have in the, Justice Department that's working for somebody else that's covering up some other garbage that they're doing illegal. So anyway, I'm sitting there going, da, 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 oh, wow. Called up a couple of friends, told them about them, had them call them up to, get the operation out of their homes, some Vietnam vets and people I knew, and they were signing up for this job to do out of their home. So then, anyway, they said they were going to send me, I think, $500 bonus to get, some other office equipment so I could work out of the home. And then the rest of the money, which was about a couple of $100, I could keep as a part of the expenditures. So anyway, I gave them my information, and they had my banking information. They said they were going to route that over, da-da-da, this, that, and the other. So anyway, I go to the bank. A couple of days later, go in there, $5,000 in the account. I'm like, what the heck is this? So then I went back and I told them about it, and they acted like they didn't know what I was talking about. I asked the bank where it came from. They said, I don't know. You can take it out of yours. The bank told me that. I even called the Hinsdale Police Department and said I had $5,000 extra in my bank. I don't know whose it is. They said, laughed at me and said, oh, if it was mine, I'll just go spend it. Luckily, I don't spend it. I didn't do anything. Because, see, I know that it's karma about taking stuff and doing stuff like that, so I didn't want to get involvement. And then secondly, I was trying to figure out why, who, what, and where. I always do that. That's a part of my nature. So anyway, what happened was a whole fiasco went out for a month. What happened was this $5,000 was out of the Spiegel company because they called me up and they said, oh, we sent you too much money. You need to give me that money back. I said, well, the wire, all you have to do is cancel it. No, 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 we can't do it. I called TCF Bank. Oh, no, we can't send it back to them. Da, 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 we don't do that. And I was under suspect then. Well, if it comes in a wire, you can cancel a wire and cash. They're telling all these banks and all these things tell me I can't do it. I'm like, that's strange. While that was going on, I was calling up about the child support. I go call up because I used to work in the court, and I go find out somebody went in there and changed the record, which is totally illegal, and changed the date of birth on the record where they send the payment out, but the information was in their other system of the correct dating information. Somebody did that intentionally, folks, intentionally. So I was on the phone, and I told them, I said, look, you better straighten this out, or I'm going to report this and broadcast it. So they got me to check the next day, but the thing was, it was a setup from the get-go to incriminate me. So then after that, okay, this is your money going to the justice system, the so-called justice system going on in the United States. After that happened, okay, I'm still on the phone with the bank, right? So these people called me up from Spiegel saying, well, take the money out and send it to a postal money order from the U.S. Post Department and send us the money in a U.S. Postal overnight envelope, and then we'll take care of it here because it's a problem. I got to get the money back. So I said, well, why do I got to do it that way? Well, you got to only do it this way, this, that, and the other. You know, that's the only way you can send it back. I'm this great suspect. I said, nah. So I went in and got a cashier's check from my bank, TCF Bank. I sent it through FedEx with return receipt signature. And that was on Friday. By that Monday, the whole operation that was in New York, in Queens area, by the way, they basically shut down the phone lines and everything, right? Cell phone lines, website disappeared and vanished, everything. So I said, oh, okay, there we go. So anyway, I called up FedEx. They told me to track the envelope. I stopped payment on the cashier's check immediately. Immediately I stopped payment on that. So they couldn't collect anything. So then I had the card come back and had the property and address where they were. So I did a complete background check and sweep of the whole building. I knew everybody's apartment in the whole building. I know who lived there. I knew where they worked. I had all the fucking telephone numbers. Within a day, I did this. Again, I'm not working for anybody right now, but I can do this. So anyway, I found out all the phone numbers in the building. I found out where they were in New York. The guy that called me up on a cell phone, I tracked his phone, and this was before you had GPS. I knew where he was standing in New York. I knew where he was standing, where he was at. I called up Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General in Chicago, and told him that this stuff was going on, and they told me they didn't handle it. I felt she was involved, too. Because all I needed was a writ from Chicago, and I had already talked to the Attorney General in New York. I had talked to the police department in Borough in New York, and they were getting ready to pounce on these people. But the Attorney General in Chicago would not give them a writ for them to act on the behalf of Illinois in regards to catching somebody that was doing scoundrel situations with my bank. And then to make it even worse, I got every copy of the money order. Every money order they sent me, I had a copy of that went into my bank. I called TCF Bank, and I told them I want copies of whatever it was because they were going to come down on me saying I removed the money because I gave a cashier's check. But then I stopped payment. So the money never left the bank. Never left the bank. It was in there. So then I got all of these money orders. And I went in and I got those money orders. And I found out that we were Citibank. And then I got a copy of Citibank's transactions. And I found out those checks were washed. The checks were for $2, $3 by different names. And somebody wiped out the amounts on there and reissued the checks for higher amounts. Same amount of same check because they had the same date and person information for that bank account, but a higher amount was put in my bank on each one of the checks, and it was all under, I think it was $150 or $200. It would add up to $5,000. So then I traced it back. I found that the United States had a second Federal Reserve. But you were washing and laundering these monies out of. And then I found that this bank that was dealing with was going all the way into Nigeria and was tied to these Bushes and Cheneys and things. So I reported all this. I took it to the Justice Department. They wouldn't do anything with it. I took it to the Secret Service that's supposed to handle fiduciary crime. Never heard a peep out of them about anything. Agent was supposed to come down and investigate it for me. Nothing happened. Late Sherman Skolnick was working on it. Other people I had working on it. And the thing was, it was a corruption that they were doing against me because I was on the air talking about corruption that they were doing way back from 9/11 and before and even up to this day. They were trying to compromise me. Now, after everything was said and done, the bank president, which was another thing, too, the banks are supposed to tell you where their main branch is. That's illegal for them to operate a bank on U.S. soil and not tell you where the corporate location is and who the president of the bank is. I went through hell. I had to go through Missouri. I had to go through all types of places across the United States to find out who the one was fiduciarily responsible for TCF Bank. I found their location in Burrage. I pulled him up and I told him what was going on. And then after I told him, I was going to subpoena the pictures of whoever deposited money out of the bank in Stony Island. They all of a sudden came back and said, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean that. Blah, blah, blah. And everything vanished. And then the bank president over there immediately was let go because somebody was setting me up. There was another guy that they put $50,000 worth of counterfeit money in his account. See, if you go in and touch the money, it's commingled with your money. So if it's commingled with your money, it's a situation that you're committing financial fraud, and they can imprison you. That guy used to work for the government, and he was a correspondent with the White House, and he was gone and disappeared and locked in some kind of vault that they had in Missouri or wherever they had him for almost 10 years. 10 years. And that only because he's reporting the situation that happened with one of these planes that blew up. So the thing is, these people out here use your tax dollar to compromise people, do all kinds of illegal acts, look at black people on the street, and we're all criminals, all of us. If we go out of the street, you know, I mean, it's no officer friendly. The last time a black kid sees officer friendly is when he's 8 years old. Once he becomes like 9 or 10, he's now a perp because immediately he's consumed to being doing something. Now, on the news media, they talk about all these kids and people getting killed, right? This stuff has been going on for eons. The only thing was the white media, the mainstream media never reported it. Never. There were murders, rapes, and all types of things. The charges that the police were doing, brutality, going all the way back to the 40s and 50s, at least in Chicago. And beyond that, you had other states. But, you know, we had one police officer here, Burris, that they've been talking about on TV nonstop, that was tied in to taking blacks and beating them, brutalizing them until they confessed to crimes they didn't commit. And that went on for years. And then we're talking about this occurred in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And still is going on. So now all of a sudden you see these reports because they're on TV. They weren't on TV before. And now they say, oh, that's horrible, da, da, da. But this has been going on for eons. I remember it was a case my dad was working on before he had died. A guy was arrested out here in the 50s, and he was incarcerated on death row. He didn't do the crime. They just found him and just found him as an easy resource to deal with and saying that he was a criminal that committed murder. He sat on the death row for almost 40 years, and they just released him because I found paperwork from my dad working on a case. And the thing was, I had the paperwork. I was trying to reopen that case again. And then some people, I think at the University of Chicago and Northwestern University, teamed together. And they got him out after he spent 40 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. Because there was no forensic evidence that supported it years later that he committed that crime. Now the FBI currently out here is under probe because they had a bunch of cases of African-Americans that went to jail, and some of them had died a death row that they prosecuted that were innocent of the crime. So now you hear this guy being drugged away after being beaten half to death on the street, and they broke his back, and they threw him in a squad car, and he died in Baltimore. Okay? And it's gotten to the point where, you know, the police department and the mayor in Baltimore, they're recognizing this stuff because people are getting mad about it. And they're not showing the numbers of people that are mad. They just show a little small outbursts because they don't want more people on the street. But where are you with this? You're paying for them to do this. You know, this is sin. You're paying for somebody. You know, if you just say religion about you, you know, you're giving money to the system to support policing, which is supposed to stop criminals from doing things. And they're criminalizing people and killing people on the basis of you giving them money to do so. So basically, everybody here is comparable to a crime being committed because you're paying for the service for them to do. They're all being paid by you. Somebody told me maybe it would be better for us to have an election for police. So we have a whole complete idea of their background to make sure that they did a psychological examination before they get into the police department, to make sure they're not getting through into jobs, you know, through somebody else, and shouldn't be hired in that job capacity in the first place, because this is ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. Now, if that was a white person and their back was broken, what do you think might happen? I remember I had a situation where somebody had a cat, one of those coyotes ate the cat. And I saw that one of my grandkids saw the tail of the cat hanging out of the coyote's mouth as he was running off. And the thing you don't understand is I reported this to Animal Control and Glenn Allen. I told them what was going on. And they said, oh, well, we can't kill Wiley Coyote because, you know, he's a good little species and he doesn't know better. Okay, then somebody that was non-African-American, a white person with money, had a little toy dog or whatever. It got eaten by a coyote. You know they killed the whole coyote population in one swoop. So why is certain people treated differently than others? Why is it that, like I said, this thing with the counterfeit money thing, I had to go through all these extremes. Luckily, I know what to do. Other people don't. But see, the thing is that what happened if that was somebody else? They would have been underneath the jail. They got their $5,000 worth of counterfeit money orders in their bank because I knew what to do. And they started hiding. They started really running to the kilt and hiding because now I got information and I found the secondary Federal Reserve. And they were washing checks. And to this day, they don't talk about the secondary Federal Reserve. Why did they get another Federal Reserve and why are they whitewashing checks? Who's doing that? What's going on there? Tracing money. The same thing with 9/11. I was saying yesterday, hey, follow the money. If you follow the money, it'll lead you to the suspects and the people that need to be charged with crime. That was a huge crime scene. It wasn't something that we should forget about. We need to keep riding on that issue. Because the thing is, the same Justice Department we're talking about now refused to put justice in on the folks that allowed planes to fly into New York airspace and caused them to go through the buildings. Because immediately any defense department is supposed to have been on it and shot down those planes before, if it would cause a situation of that huge magnet of a disaster, they end up wiping out two buildings in New York and devastating part of the Pentagon. Nobody's supposed to do that. You think Russia's going to have planes fly into their Kremlin and not do something before those planes hit? And we're supposed to be the top country, the fearful country. We're the ones that are supposed to have democracy and freedom. Freedom for who? It's not towards African Americans. I've called the Justice Department directly up 10 billion times over the past eon. I called them about the fact that they had situations in Wisconsin where they were laundering kids through the judicial courts to make money for privatized operations they had out there. That they were getting money from, you know, from them having children's services privatized. So the judges were ranking all the parents incapable of taking care of their children's fiduciary issues and court matters. So they put them with their own attorney, and the kids, 8 years old and younger, had to be making decisions for themselves. Presented them, then they would be put in foster care through one of these privatized things. Money laundering. I reported to the Justice Department. You know, they say, oh, well, you don't know it. So then I went and found out that they had this program called Kids from some kind of Children for Money program all over the country. Friends of mine that were operating different news outlets knew about it in California. It was going out in Florida and different places, laundering kids through this justice system. So how the hell are you expecting that a justice system that's doing all this corruption is going to come in and investigate properly the conduct of police? They're abusing their role as police officers by pulling over African Americans on the street, whether on foot, in cars, a vehicle, just doing a wellness check. I had a wellness check on the street one day. I was on the street with my cane walking down the street because I have health issues, and there was a wellness check done. Now, I was scared to death because, you know, what's a wellness check? How the heck are they giving the rights to officers to conduct medical treatment of people, you know, giving them needles and stuff to give people shots if they, you know, are, you know, passing out from drug overdose, you know, doses and things? How are they giving them that type of capacity to do that when they dragged a guy into a car, a squad car, and then realized his back was broken and then realized that he would die in a squad car? How can you trust them to do that? They're not medics. They're not paramedics. Why wouldn't you call an ambulance? And then they're supposed to be there conducting law enforcement. And again, this is going on from state to state. This isn't just in one spot. I mean, it's all New York, Detroit, Illinois, California. Had that guy, everybody saw Chris Brown, the guy who was in the car, and the police officer they were looking for, had all these manhunts for. The reason that all was set up is because he was standing there when they had a disabled woman on the street, and she fell, and the woman police officer started kicking her. And he reported all this abuse he was seeing, and they ignored it. So then what he did was he went to his commander, his shellbacks, contacted them, and told them what was going on because most of the officers down there were shellbacks. And then after that, they went on a manhunt because he wasn't following suit and not being a good old boy like the rest of them. That police department is still under investigation. Who's investigating them? How do you investigate who with what when the whole system itself is corrupt? They need to put together a panel. Senate, Congress needs to come together with a panel. They did it with so-called McCarthyism because when blacks and whites were getting along in Harlem, they were trying to say that was communism, so they wouldn't put a whole McCarthy panel together on that. So you mean Congress and Senate can't put a panel together to investigate the abuse of the police departments in all of the cities, of major cities of the United States, and find out why they're targeting blacks for revenue stops? I was stopped out here just recently. First they were stopping me saying, man, I had my seatbelt on backwards. That went on for months. Then I was running into the same officers. I was looking at one. He would pop up as a police officer, and he was state trooper. Same guy. So evidently he was working road or working through some other unit. They even in Illinois got a whole bunch of police out here that are under some kind of other thing, and they had it on Channel 7, Eyewitness News, that these people got badges running around loose, you know, looking like officers or pulling people over, acting as officers, and they could not find out who the heck they were working with. That was several months ago. So you don't know if you're being pulled over by police or rogue, whatever, privatized police or whatever. So what's up? What are they doing to the people here in the United States? The worst thing I got was a report just recently on Facebook. Young man was set up, an autistic young student in school was set up by an undercover police officer so they could get him arrested. They're doing it against the handicapped. The elderly man came was sitting in his house a couple of years back, I guess, and he was sitting in there and had one of those life alert systems in his house. It went off by mistake. Police came to the door and said, "Are everything okay?" He said, "Yeah, fine." And he tried to close the door. He said, "No, we need to come in." He said, "No, I don't want anybody in." So they came in anyway, and then he ended up getting killed, shot on the ground because he didn't want them in the house. You have the right to tell them not to come in the house unless they have a writ. So you mean these police officers don't know that? So then who's training them? Why is it that, when they didn't have all this computer software and everything else and technology, it seemed like the police read a little bit more and understood a little bit more law. I don't know what's going on, but there's too many people getting murdered and killed by police on the street. And by the way, it's like I have a chip in me. If I come out on the street, they know I'm out there. They come right out on the street when I come out. And the thing is, I look at them, watch what they're doing because they, you know, because I'm under threat because I'm a talk show host. And then when a person that was a former deputy that was working in the court system that has knowledge of what they do and has talked to CIA, FBI agents, and other people of authority, higher authority, they want them squealing out what's going on and what's real and what's not. So then they, like I said, pop out on the street. Here they are. You know, and then another one pops out, and then I get fouled. I remember Christopher Boland came out to Hoffman Estates, and he was with the United Press, and he was talking about 9/11. He was saying it was an inside job. He named them, you know, saying it was all Jews. I have a different perspective, but ties in? Yeah, they were tied in to a whole bunch of other people, but there was another level of this. So he got on the air and was talking about that too much on the air. So the next thing, he goes to the Hoffman Estates, where his mother was the one that funded the library in Hoffman Estates. Well, while he was over there visiting his relatives, some car was following him around all over the place. And him not understanding, I told him, just leave it alone, let him follow him. Because, see, if somebody else tries to take you out, they get mad. Because they have to do, you know, whatever they're supposed to do, and then they don't get their extra check. So anyway, he came out of the house one day, and they were sitting across the street. I met with Christopher. I sat down and talked to him, because that district, that was one part of the districts I was in charge of. I held the rank of, I don't know how many districts I was dealing with at that time. And the thing was, he was in my desk. I told him, look, I said, don't go out the house. Don't do anything. Let him follow. If you leave, just ignore him. So anyway, he got so upset, he ran out on the lawn, called the police on his cell phone or whatever. The police showed up. The people in the car came across the street. They said, you know, he said, these are the guys. And anyway, they threw him on the ground and put the foot on his neck, and they hit him with a taser. And he almost had a heart attack. And anyway, he went and called and filed a complaint. They arrested him, by the way. Then after that, he called me up because somebody else was in Patriot Movement called me and told me what's going on because they knew I was in this area. So I said, look, Christopher, I said, look, I met with his wife and his kids, and we sat down and talked, and I told him, you know, I said, don't, you shouldn't have reacted. Don't go, don't do this, don't do that. He did all the don'ts. So now he cannot even come back to the United States anymore. Now, Christopher's white. They do it to white people, too. I had police officers tell me out of some place, District of New York, or no, they were in New Jersey. There were three black officers, and they're called all kinds of names, racial slur names, working in the police department, and they came forth and complained to the commanding officer. You know they went under attack? They were attacked by their the people in their police office. They were attacked. And the three white black officers that were involved with this attack, racial slurs and things, they basically promoted them to a higher rank. And then they fired the three other officers that were white that were not calming down and following the strict orders of how to deal with black officers. I look at the black officers out here and look at them and just shake my head. I remember there was one woman working in Elk Grove Village. She filed charges against racial discrimination working in the police department out there. So the thing is that, hey, when are we going to go and do a complete lockdown of the system and regenerate it to be for everybody? Because black people pay into this too. In fact, I think we pay more money into it. We're more taxed, or we have more money floating around for services and anything, any other species on this planet. Because, you know, black people got to look good, and they drive around in cars, and they do this and that and the other. The ones that have money still, the other ones still are putting money in the system, and they're even represented. If you're on the south side of Chicago, years and years ago, even up to now, you call 911, it takes them 8 hours to show up. I remember being robbed. I was robbed in the house, and they were in the house, and I went out and called a cell phone, and it took them 4 hours to show up. They were moving my stuff out of the back of the house. I had the license plate and everything, and I gave it to the police, and they said, well, how do you know who it is? I said, look, okay, I said, if you don't trace the plate, I will. I said, where are we going to go with this? So eventually they traced it, but I had already traced it. It was people across the street from them. People across the street with the window all broken out came in there and robbed me before I moved in. So I went and made some calls. Eventually, that whole house was torn down and whatever. But the bottom line is that this is what's going on in these communities. And you go to the police, you go to the people out there, it's supposed to be changed. You just had a couple elections go down. You got a new governor. Do they all care and understand that you all represent the people and the tax dollars are on your doorstep and you're comparable to crimes that are being committed? Because anybody that's fiduciarily is represented by being an elected official has also a situation that they need to be, involved. If you have a crime and they basically have the information for the crime, they're comparable to the crime for not acting, not becoming an actor. Now, they have a thing in the judicial system that anybody who works for the judicial system is exempt. Now, that needs to be investigated. They need to also investigate the judicial discretionary of a judge. Should that be allowed? You know, like, for instance, I saw this thing in the court in Will County, where people in the corner were allowed to walk up there and get off on traveling offenses. Some of them were showing insurance cards. They brought insurance afterwards, walked. And then when you come in there and see them, they don't even have the police there in the courtroom. And they act as though it's the ex parte, one side of the court, and you immediately are guilty, and the minimum fine is $362. That's a revenue stop. So you go talk to them. And then the thing was, when I went up there to court, the thing that made me mad is how the heck is the judge, who's supposed to be the ultimate person that knows the law, going to ask me for a registration card for a plate light? There's no such thing. I don't understand that. But he's a judge. Oh, do you have the registration for your plate light? And somebody had to kind of tap him on the side. Because, see, you don't give your registration to the police department and stuff anymore, because the registration is that little sticker thing you have on the back of your plate. If you don't have that on there, they have a right to write you a ticket. But I had one, so they couldn't write that, so they wrote some kind of strange ticket saying that I didn't have registration for my plate light. There's no such law. And then the police failed to identify themselves. I asked this police woman for her identification. Oh, I don't have any identification. I just have my badge, my star. I said, well, what's your name? Well, you know, you can check this. I asked for officers to come on the street because they send two squad cars deep. You know how much money it costs when they run two squad cars on one ticket that's nothing, a warning ticket? Well, she's scared. Well, how about me being scared? I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if you're real police. This needs to be addressed at a congressional level. It needs to have a congressional panel. And, years ago, I would say in the 90s, I went before the Justice Department when it was kind of a little bit justice, and I tried to get all these ministers to come with me because the same exact situation was going on years ago in the 90s. And I had a voice then that the Justice Department sent some people down and met them in the federal building. It was just me there, and not one black person or anybody showed up because everybody's got their little agenda. If they ain't in their agenda package, and it's not going to give them a spotlight, they're not going to show up while people are dying on the street. I went to this other guy, Howard, that's supposed to be over in this Judicial Watch Committee out here, and I told him what was going on. And the bottom line is I'm trying to figure out what these people are doing, because they get money, they have the ability to do something, and they don't do anything at all. And then when it gets to right now, it's 100 billion times worse, because every time you step out on the floor or the ground or the street and you're black, they might have a tendency to do something to you. So you think of the tyranny on black people. So are we refugees? Are we some type of foreign body that you got us hooked up in some kind of terrorist mentality that you think that we're, you know, it's okay to terrorize us on the street? And you wonder why these black kids act up? Because they call, you know, they see the police as a threat. They're scared. You would be too. You go out there and you look at police as a threat, and you start running, and then you see your friends get shot in the back like they're, like somebody's in Africa doing great game hunting. You know, the kids see police, oh, police, and they start scattering. And so the next thing, you know, they get shot in the back and killed. And you saw a sample of the same thing I'm talking about. The black guy bolted out of the car, he may own child support or whatever. He's running, and the police officer shoots him in the back. He had no weapon. And then he's going to go through some kind of weapon down over by him is caught on camera. And then right at that time, they passed another law. Well, citizens cannot record what police are doing on the street. It's a felony. How the heck is it a felony when you're supposed to have a freedom of rights, of freedom of everything here, that we, you know, within the limits of certain of law, but we have freedom. It's supposed to be under the Constitution. They just write up laws as they can to protect themselves. This is a nightmare. So for the mayor of that area of Baltimore to say that she needs to revamp the police department, that is cool. But the justice system itself is corrupt. So therefore, what you're doing is not going to be a pee in the wind to what is going on. Because there's nobody that's going to be able to respond, to stop, and to resist this nightmare. Because it's a whole system, entity on itself, operating in itself, answering to certain bodies, we don't know who they are, in charge of allowing corruption to go on, targeting African Americans, targeting people that are not of color, Latinos and others, targeting people that have to be young white kids with long hair, targeting individuals out there that don't have, the homeless, the disabled. They are not treated correctly. There's no smiles on your face when you see a police officer. Hi, how are you doing? Like they do at Mayberry if you're sick and disabled. They look at you like a perk. You're doing something because you're in a wheelchair. You're doing something. You're evil. There's something wrong with you. You're demented. Let me put you in a nursing home so somebody can get nursing home money. They're killing us softly. They're killing us unsoftly. They're doing whatever they want to do. They're imposing evil on the citizens of the United States. But yet, we're the super global corporation of the world, and we go into other countries and tell them what to do. Oh, no, you can't do over there. Look at those people over there. They're starving. And you're starving your own people and criminalizing your people over here. So how can a person clean your own house before you go in other people's houses? Stay the hell out of over in foreign countries until you decide to clean up this mess over here. If you can't sit down and consciously sit down with the population of the United States and sit here and explain why you're doing what you're doing. Now the report is right now our soldiers are being grouped up and sent over to Cuba, to that little area of Cuba where they had those detention containment camps. They're sending them to deploy them out today, out of Illinois. What's up with that? They got that going on. They got drones on 274 hangars sitting out in the middle of the water. They're letting people buy drones so that you can have your drone up while they have military drones up so you don't know what drone is killing who on the street. Do you get the picture of what's getting ready to happen? And very soon, there's going to be some very bad catastrophe happening because the plot is thickening as we speak and getting worse. Somebody was telling me, and I'm going to report it again, maybe they're killing black people, black men, because they don't want us to have any children and they don't want to pay for them in the system. Maybe somebody put word in. We don't know who's in this system, who's running stuff. We don't know if it's some hate group that's all involved with taking over policing agencies of the United States. We don't know what's going on, but I know this is the axles of evil at the worst. And it's not going to stop until you wake up. Because the same situation, I'm telling you, is going on right now that people are reporting in all these different states was going on when the media didn't cover it, and that was back there in the 80s and 90s when I sat there over there in the federal building and met with the Justice Department then to complain about how African Americans were being treated, and they did listen, but I did not have no person from anybody, nobody from Bush, nobody from any of the ministries I asked to show up. Not one of them came there to talk on the behalf of what's going on with African Americans because they all felt they weren't in the spotlight because I brought something to the attention there. Now, it's up to you. What are you going to do? You listen to this report, and, yeah, the mayor of Baltimore is out there saying something. The mayor of Gary, Indiana, she needs to come out and say something, too. That place is a wreck. It's a joke. Who the hell wants to go to Gary? I called down there to try to do something. They wouldn't even answer the phone. They don't care. People don't, you know, look, you get these people in these major counties and towns that they say that they want to do stuff. Hey, when people go there and approach them, they, you know, they just dish you off. Oh, we, you know, you're not important enough. I can't call. It's interesting. I could call down and talk to Mayor Daley. I could go down and talk to Alderman Mal. I could go talk to these people down here. At one time, you could go down. There was open door policy in Chicago, and that's a bigger town than all these other places. I could talk to people in New York, still do. But out here in these other college places, they act like they're movie stars. Can't talk to them, can't get them on the phone. You have to be super important to get in touch with somebody. You talk to their agent or whatever. It's gotten to the point where there's no personalization to who's representing you so that you can talk to them and let them know what's going on in their district, because they're supposed to represent all the people, not themselves or whoever. Special interest groups, they're representing you. That's the whole purpose of you voting. They're supposed to be given a voter's right to share in to the corporation and have the right to say and have respect and have them responsibly represent you before Congress, Senate, or what have you. That's not going on. So anyway, I'm finished with my rant today. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with more. But just think about it. Why are they deploying troops down to Cuba right now, to that Bay Area where they had all those prisoners that they were doing water torture, waterboarding and stuff? Why are they sending our young men down there? What's getting ready to happen? Why they got 274 hangars with drones on them on a waterfront? What's getting ready to happen? Is it because maybe banks are getting ready to shut down or something and they're scared of how we're going to react and they're building up because it's coming soon? Let's watch what's going on, the underlying news that they don't report. That's where the hidden stories are. And prepare for the worst. This is Deanne Burley on the Detectives Radio Broadcast Network. And thank you for listening. And by the way, not all the police are bad. There's a lot of them that are trying to step up their plate. But imagine being in the system and being sitting there and not knowing what to do, because the system will attack you. There are good judges on the bench. And the thing is, same thing with them. If they go past the system and not operate in a good boy capacity, then you know what? They're up for grabs too. That's the game that's being played. And by the way, yes, they change information in the computer system. It's illegal, you know. If they change the court minutes, they can change it around. There's no court reporters in the courts no more, not like they used to. So things can be altered. There's a reason why they don't want cell phones in the courts. There's a reason why they don't want recording devices, because you might pick up on something that they are not recording on their end to protect you in that court. Because, see, when you go to court, one last thing, when you go to court and you need evidence of something that somebody said in the last case hearing, and you need to go and bring that up as a rule to show cause, or something like that in the court, here next hearing. You can't do it, because if you need to get the transcript, certain information might be missing, because they're not going to record all the information. Why? Because you're protecting yourself, aren't you? So if you have a person in the courtroom who's got a laptop, a camera phone, or got anything that can view what's going on, then those people doing illegal acts can be brought to justice. This is the reason why they want these cell phones in there. And then it should be under violation of the ADA law, because there's a lot of disabled, handicapped people who need transportation to pick them up. They have no way of making a communication to call people back. They have no communication because they're disabled and ill. They can't have their phone in the court. Why not? What's the whole thing? It's not like people use the cell phone in the court. It's not disturbing anyone. They're doing it with intent, because they don't want you to record an open meeting. It's under open meetings act. It's still an open meeting, because the thing you're dealing with is a major corporation, and corporations have corporate laws, and those minutes are supposed to be recorded, the same thing in the court. That's how it's set up. It's supposed to be notarized. The circuit court clerk is the notary. The notarized, your documents is being truth and fact, and you're the person serving the papers on the court. That they're acting as a notary. It's all under corporate law and corporate act. So if it is under corporate law and corporate act, then the Brown of the Black's rules of law apply, and the law that that deals with Open Meetings Act applies. You have the right to come in and record what's going on, write down what's going on, so that you can use that as, you know, the next level of dealing with the next meeting. Open Meetings Act law, and they're not applying it. They're denying you the right. They're ex-parting these courts. And the thing is that there's not enough of us doing anything about it, because the ones that are trying, many of them are, let me be out there in the starlight. I got to be the superstar. And then what happens? Nothing. As a good example is Burl Cemetery. Tragedy. Fake bankruptcy. Bankruptcy was not completed. And then in addition to the fake bankruptcy, we had a situation where 15 people, 150 people got $1 in settlement. The people stealing the bodies of their loved ones. Again, this company that was involved was just the groundskeeper. Everybody that owned those cemetery plots, remember the word owned? They owned the cemetery plot, so they owned the cemetery. The people that were there did not own the cemetery. They did not own the land. You did. So how the heck is it that they were had the right to steal bodies, sell it for organ or transplant, tissues for whatever, take the clothes, gold, take the coffins out, dump bodies over in the corner, and then get away with just giving 150 people $1, no more than $1, for the strain and the tyranny that they went through, $1. Slaves back in the day at least were promised 40 acres of mule, which many did not get. But at least it was a promise. 40 acres is much more worth than $1, for you lose a loved one. And to this day, there are people out there that were involved with this still walking around, got millions of dollars from stealing bodies, corpses, and doing whatever they want. And the people that they have in jail, the one woman over there, I doubt seriously she did it. Because the same setup was in Chicago, it was going on in the Detroit area, and there was two other states that had the same thing. It was Big Mama's Kitchen, it was in Detroit. And the same thing was going on paralleling Illinois, with the black cemetery where they had a soul food kitchen. And they were doing the same thing as they were doing here in Illinois. And then I found out the workers that were coming in these places were not familiar with funeral homes or cemeteries at all. The woman they have in jail used to work at CTA. She had no familiarity in dealing with those cemeteries. So how'd she get that job? And the person was in there before, worked as a cook or whatever. So the thing was, that was a setup job for them to launder money. And again, what's the difference between that and Enron? Has that ever been resolved? Where are the billions of dollars from Enron? Who got that? And that could go on for days, all the corruption. But then it would be too heart-rendering. And the thing is, the people lost so much money during the mortgage crisis, during the time of credit default swaps, during the time that all these lies and conspiracies were going on in regards to no doc, below doc, nothing, and people doing fly-by of night appraisals on property. None of such stuff has done anything. Because the same culprits are still out there doing it again and again. And there's nobody to stop them. Nobody. Because there's no justice system. I don't see one in the United States. Not for blacks. Not for Latinos. And not for people from foreign countries. And I thank you very much for listening, and good night. My email me is danne.burley@gmail.com. Thank you for listening again. Bye.